In your worship folder for today, you will see that we celebrate the minor festival of All Saints that was first established in the 700s. You will see also there a symbol that is often used to depict the Holy Christian Church, that of the Ark of the Covenant, demonstrating God's presence with his people even in this world. The text for us before us today is taken from the book of Revelation, the revelation given to St. John. And you could say this describes for us the great promised land that we venture toward in this life of faith. Taken from the 22nd chapter. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. I'd like to introduce you today to a man by the name of Isidore Ruckel, who grew up in Romania as a little child. After the fall of communism in 1989, it was discovered that there were hundreds of thousands of orphaned children in many of the orphanages of Romania and living in very horrific conditions. And Isidore was one of these young men who had very deformed legs. It just so happened that the orphanage he was in had a sign on it, and this is what it said. This was the name of the orphanage: the Hospital of Unsalvageable Children. Well, if that doesn't make you sick, the Hospital of Unsalvageable Children. When he was 11 years old, he was given charge over 65 other orphans in the orphanage to take care of them, even though he himself couldn't walk. He remembers and recalls one night when he hid under his covers as a nurse took a broomstick and beat a child to death in the bed next to him. It's just unbelievable to try and imagine what his life would have been like. Wonderfully for him, an American Christian family from California found out about his situation and decided to adopt him. And I can only imagine what it was like for him while he was waiting to come to the new land, knowing that he had been adopted, but not yet fully understanding what that meant. And while he was still living in the horrible conditions of this orphanage, what that must have been like for him. Even though he legally now, through adoption, possessed everything that his new status gave him, at the same time, here he was still living in these difficult conditions. He had three new sisters waiting to meet him in America, all excited to finally see their new brother. His time waiting to be released from the orphanage and finally going to his new home is kind of a nice picture for us about our present situation as God's children. We right now are living in conditions in this world that maybe according to the world standards are pretty nice, but if you really look around us, it's full of a lot of fear and a lot of trouble, sin inside of us and other people that we have to deal with. Death is all around us. Death takes people's lives right next to us constantly. There's a lot of disappointment in our world. The dreams that we have for ourselves don't always seem to work out. And yet, by God's grace, because of the work of His Son, you and I have so graciously been adopted. God has chosen in the waters of baptism to put his name on your forehead and to make you his own as a child of heaven. And because of that wonderful, precious work of God, you and I now have this great future laid out for us. But we're not there yet. The text that we just read describes for us the beautiful new land, the new home that we belong to already by faith in Christ, the land that we already possess. And yet, as we think of Isidore's situation, while he's waiting, had been adopted and was waiting to go, we can see something about ourselves as well, and that is this. It is possible to fully possess something and yet not yet fully know and experience what it is and to sense what it is. Isidore possessed everything that his legal adoption granted him while he was waiting, but he didn't know yet what it meant for him. He still felt like he was an abandoned child, despite this fantastic new status. Legally, he possessed the estate of his parents, but he hadn't even been there yet. He was just as much a citizen of the United States because of his adoption as his parents would be, or as the president of the United States would be, and yet he hadn't even been there yet. And that's how it is with us. Even though we don't completely sense or know what we have as God's children in this world, and even though we don't yet fully see and know what our heavenly adoption from God through baptism has meant for us, yet we still do possess everything that that entails. It all belongs to us legally by divine mandate. And just as much as those who are already enjoying the joys of heaven belong to heaven, you and I do as well, even though we're not there yet. And we are just as worthy as God's baptized children through faith in Christ. We are just as worthy of being there as Jesus himself. I want to say that again. You, as a baptized child of God through faith in Christ, are just as worthy of being in heaven as the Son of God himself. That's pretty awesome. No wonder when St. Paul wrote to the Christian congregations, he didn't just start out by calling them Christians. He called them saints. Look at his letters. Every one almost begins, to the saints in Ephesus, to the saints in Philippi, to the saints in Colossae. That's how God looks at you, even though you're not yet in heaven. And so even though we don't feel our sainthood, even though we don't see it come out in us, by God's grace, we already possess it. You know, instead of taking their money and time and effort to adopt Isidore, his California family could have chosen instead to just send him things through the mail to try to make life in the orphanage better, to give him cool toys to play with, to give him some spending money possibly to have, and so on. But they knew that that really wouldn't help his life. They had to get him out of there. The Son of God could have chosen to take the treasures he had of heaven and to just sprinkle them down for you into this life to try to make your life here better. But he decided it would be better for you eternally to just get you out of here, to come down and rescue you from this horrible place of death to a home that never knows death. And so to accomplish this, it took special work. He could have just decided to one weekend, the Son of God could have decided on one weekend just to become a human being, a 33-year-old man, and let his body be going hung on the cross to die and rise again and pay for things. But he knew it would take more than that. He knew that for you and me to be granted the status of being holy before God, that meant having to live an entire life of holiness, beginning with his conception. And then on through his birth and his little childhood, his adolescence, his adulthood, to keep the commands of God absolutely spotless so that through the waters of baptism, when you get adopted by God, you could have this holy record given to you. And so Christ committed himself not just to a weekend of saving you by dying on the cross, but to living out a complete holy life of sainthood that you could now have granted to you. Today, Isidore lives in California with his family nearby. He's now in his mid-30s. He had 6 surgeries on his legs, so he's now able to walk. He finally got to meet his siblings, of course, and enjoys his new life. Today, he's an author, and he's a speaker and an advocate for orphans. Just want to read one line for you from his blog. This is what he says. I made it through all that darkness because of my awesome family and God's grace. Made it through all that darkness. You can imagine the life of gratitude that he now senses and lives toward his earthly family. And that's how it will be and should be for us too as God's children. When we think about what the adoption of our baptism has meant for us, how our lives should be lived now in gratitude to God for this wonderful home that we are heading to. Today, Isidore organizes annual reunions of Romanian orphans, and they get together and talk about their past ordeals and how wonderful their new lives are and so on. And they even have chat rooms where they talk back and forth to each other. It's very interesting to read those. Just think of the joy that you and I are going to have someday of getting to sit down with David, getting to sit down with Rahab, Mary Magdalene, the thief on the cross, Peter, and others who experienced that same undeserved grace and mercy of God that touched them and gave them the gift of faith in their Savior. And now here they are sitting at the Feast of Salvation. Think what those conversations are going to be like for us someday. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your marvelous grace that has adopted us into your kingdom and made us your own dear children. And we pray that you would grant us the eyes of faith to see and understand our holiness before you for the sake of Christ, and give us lives of faith that desire now to live out this wonderful gift in our day-to-day lives. And keep all of us focused on the wonderful home above that you have granted us in our Savior, where we may live together with your saints eternally. We ask it all in Christ's saving name. Amen.